hard. I think we're very subjective as American people. We've known prosperity, we've known affluence. We eat what we want, drive what we want, go where we want. And we've just, there's a dullness that comes with that. You know, the children of Israel, it says, take heed, the Lord warned them, take heed lest when you be full, and if come into the good land, you be full that you forget the Lord, you know. And we don't realize how terrible subjective we are and how narrow is our perspective compared to seeing things in a world view because of what other people are in crisis and, you know, in desperate situations. It brings a different kind of response out of people's lives. And I know that we're about ready, all of us, to find out what's really there. And I'm a little bit fearful, and not in a wrong way, but just take heed, beware kind of fearful, because I know in my heart that we're going to, all of us, find out the real roots of our heart and what's really there. But the scripture that's been on my heart today, it's just stirring in my spirit, and it's very familiar scripture. After he gets done talking about all the people of faith in the faith chapter, he gets done with that, and then he says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these brethren that have gone before are witnesses to our walk, and they're not going to be perfected without us. But it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And that word beset, I looked it up in the Vines Bible, and that word beset means it describes sin as having advantage in favor of its prevailing. And it's easier, just like we said, it's easier to grow weeds than it is good plants in a garden. And it's easier to fall the way of darkness and sin than it is to go the way of righteousness. Sin has the advantage because our nature has got to be dealt with a blow to keep from the tendency toward darkness and sin. And it says in that scripture, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sin has the advantage. And it's going to only be by a very strong vigilance to overcome sin. It's going to take a contest. So he says, lay aside every weight. And I think, when I think of weight, I think of Paul when he warned the people, and he said, I perceive that this journey on the ship is going to be with peril, a peril to our own lives, you know. And but the other master of the ship went with somebody else's counsel, and they sailed off into the ocean in this ship, and a terrible storm came, a terrible, terrible storm. And brothers and sisters, regardless of what it looks like right now on the horizon, those that are sensing the burden of the Spirit can tell you, this is no normal storm we're getting ready to come into. This is not a normal storm. And when these men were driven before the fierce winds of this storm, the last thing they finally had to do was lighten the ship, and they threw off everything. They even had to throw off the tacklings of the ship, the things that were necessary to running the ship. They had to throw off everything just to keep from going down because of the tremendousness of the storm. So he says, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you should be wearied and faint in your minds, for you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. This whole contest, when he talks about all those that have gone before, and he says that they're watching us, so brethren, let's lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience. And the thing that I want to bring to remembrance to every one of us, I think we've got to, the hour demands of every one of us that we get a hold of the reality of the things we profess to believe. It's not enough to have a theological position at this time. It's not enough to have somebody else's doctrine. It's not enough to have somebody else's exhortation. You must apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended you. There's something in your spirit that's got to rise up, because this is the thing we have before us. There is no respect of persons with Almighty God. If that's as basic to the pursuit of God as the law of gravity is in this natural world. And that is this: there's no respect of persons. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. This is a time we must. I'm being goaded by the Spirit like I've never been goaded in my heart. That yesterday's manna is not going to be sufficient. That the yesterday's vision is not sufficient. That I must apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me. This pearl of great price can't be an ethereal perspective that you see off somewhere. We have to have that thing so real in our spirit that we go to bed with it, we dream about it, we wake up with it. It motivates everything we do and everything we are. This pearl of great price, the kingdom of heaven, which is like a goodly merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, sold everything he had that he might possess that pearl. And brethren, it's like Paul when he exhorted the people, I think it's the 14th chapter of Acts, when he says he went to Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. We must press through. And right now, the demand that I'm sensing by the Holy Spirit, I am feeling goaded by the Lord. I am goaded. There's a burden on my spirit. And it's that I must get a hold of the reality of the things I profess to believe, because everything we think we know, everything is getting ready to get completely fire tested with white hot heat. And brother, there's only going to be two kinds of people at the end of this thing: overcomers and those that are overcome. And right now, I believe there's special grace by the Lord for those that will set their hearts like a flint, set their mind. It's like it says, we know the scripture that we're familiar with, the one that says, until the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And then it says, it talks about, and everyone presses into it. And there's a place, brethren, where we must press through a veil. We must press through the dullness of our natural man that fights against us, the dullness of our mind, the dullness of our senses, the distractions of this world. We have got to reel our heart in, lay aside everything that distracts us, lay aside everything that wants to take us aside, and entangle our hearts right now, and set our hearts like a flint to apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended us, to get a hold of the clarity of this vision, the pearl of great price. Because as he goes on, it says, who for the joy set before him, speaking of Jesus, endured the cross. It's only to the degree that you have a clarity of that vision, that eternal vision, that joy set before you, that you're truly going to be able to endure the sufferings and the cross that's before us. People that don't have a clarity of vision, people that aren't real sure about what it is they're buying, are going to sell out at the end. But it's going to be those who have a clear vision of the value, the preciousness of that eternal kingdom, that pearl of great price that caused the men that see it to sell everything they have that they might possess it. That the response and the treasure hidden in the field, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he goes his way, sells everything he has that he might buy that field. And brother, the only way that we're going to be able to truly sell everything we have is to see the preciousness of that pearl of great price, that eternal kingdom, the glory of our King, the majesty. I mean, you look at, after he gets done rebuking the Laodicean church, he says, I'm going to spew you from my mouth. And he goes on and he says, 16. For thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Anyway, he goes through that whole thing. And then he says, at the end of it, he says, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will, and open to me, I will come into him and sup with him. And then he says, and he that overcometh, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I sit with my Father and have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. Can you comprehend just the incredible statement that the Lord Jesus made to that church, which you'd look at it and go, these bunch of fluff muffins, and yet he says, he that overcomes, I'm going to grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. We've got to get a hold of the reality and the preciousness of that eternal kingdom, because the things of this world, they are not worthy. Paul says the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The whole creation groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But I'll tell you what, the ones that are going to possess that anointing, and the ones that are going to possess that eternal kingdom, and the ones that are going to be in that intimate relationship with the Lord of the bride, are going to be those that have pressed through the veil of this natural realm, that have seen with the eyes of the Spirit, that have grasped this thing with their inner man, with their spirit, and have grasped it with clarity the value of this kingdom, and have pressed through this veil and this fog and this natural man and our natural mind and the sin which does so easily beset us, that's continually barraging us, and pressed through for the reality of the things we profess to believe. Because for the joy set before them, brother, the sacrifice, the commitment, the fruitfulness belongs to those who see through the veil of this natural realm and see clearly that joy set before them. Because for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And the only way we're going to truly endure the price tag of this pearl of great price that costs everything you have is to see the value of this thing. And with that, you will sell out, and you will sell out not with your theology, not with your mind, but with your spirit, soul, heart, body, and all of your strength. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, not some, a little. Everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They for an corruptible crown, we for an incorruptible crown. We need to see, brothers and sisters, what it is we're buying. We need to see it with more than a theological position. We've got to see. It says it's with the heart man believes, not with the head. And it says it's by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's going to be by the eyes of the Spirit and by faith with the heart that we perceive this eternal kingdom and this pearl of great price that is going to give us that burning passion that we need, that drive that forces us through this veil of every resistance and everything that fights against it. Because the whole world, the whole satanic kingdom, our natural man, fights against the reality of the things we seek after. And we have to press through it. And it's not going to be passively apprehended. It's not going to be for those who, you know, have it on the back burner. It's going to be those who that thing has so gripped their heart, their spirit, their soul, their mind, their body, that they eat, breathe, drink, sleep, dream the Lord Jesus and his eternal kingdom, and everything they do is tempered for the pursuit of that incorruptible crown.